Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight we have Theater by the Sea back with us, and we have Kevin Hill here. He's going to be in the Peanut Gallery today. Welcome back, Kevin. He's in the distant part of the studio, this immense studio in downtown Exeter. And clap, though, so people can hear that you're here. There's Kevin clapping in the background. That's good. And Kevin is the director of Mary Poppins, which is appearing July 23rd through August 16th. And something really to look forward to. And as a special treat, we have both, not one, but two of the stars here today. Playing Mary Poppins is Carrie Conti. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi.
Nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And playing the part of Bert, the Dick Van Dyke part, as I recall, is Brad Bradley. Welcome, Brad.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you both with us. And this is a very exciting time at Theater by the Sea. We've had a couple great shows already, broken all kinds of box office records, I understand, starting with the Rat Pack and then Grease. And in just a couple days, Mary Poppins is going to be on stage. And before we get to the show itself and the excitement of that, let's find out a little bit about the two of you. Carrie, let's have a little bit of your background. You're from the New York area?
Yeah, I'm from Albany, New York. I'm based out of New York City right now.
So from Albany to the big city.
Exactly.
And you've been in theater for, 5 years, 10 years, 3 years?
Let's see. I did my first show in 1994, so I guess this is my...
When you were four, right?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, just about. That's what it looks like anyway. Okay, 1994, you said?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And you've been in shows all over the country, or pretty much staying in the New York area?
Yeah, all over the country. I was on tour with Mary Poppins, so I've been as far as Alaska, I guess you could say.
Wow, national tour that went to Alaska.
Yeah.
That's a little unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And any other highlights? Do you sing, dance? What are you an actor or a dancer or a singer or all three?
I would say all three.
All three, no mm-hmm. specialty.
Singing. I would say singing.
Did you go to school for singing?
I went to school for musical theater, so all three. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, great. Well, I can't wait to see Mary Poppins. I understand there's going to be some exciting things happening physically
yes.
on the stage. And we'll get into that in just a minute after we find out a little bit about Brad. Brad, you're from what area?
I'm originally from San Diego, California, but I consider myself a New Yorker now.
Originally from San Diego and now a New Yorker. And it's interesting how people have to go to New York to get parts in other parts of the country. And but you've been in theater for how long for you?
Well, longer than Carrie. I'm not going to say how many years. I don't want to age myself. No, but I've been doing this since I was 9 years old. I started dancing, Irish dancing with my church at 9 years old. And from there, it just kind of took off. And I've been doing it ever since. So I could say close to 30 years.
Wow. And to school for some theater?
I went to a performing arts school. Then I went to a college for it. And I mean, I'm still in school for it. Every chance I get, I know, I have to go take class to prepare for this role. You never stop training. So mm-hmm. it's kind of something I always want to get better at. You can never stop improving when it comes to musical theater.
Well, it is an art, and art can continue to grow, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, Mary Poppins, I'm going to ask Kevin a question about the logistics of Mary Poppins. This is quite a production for you to stage, probably one of your most ambitious, I would think.
It is definitely the biggest show that we've ever had at Theater by the Sea. We're going to be doing things in that 81-year-old barn theater that have never been seen before, especially all the flying.
All the flying. All right. Well, we'll get to flying after we listen to a piece of music. And practically perfect. Tell us about that, Carrie.
Oh, well, it's the first time that Mary sings. Oh. So that's exciting.
Very exciting.
She's just arrived at the Banks' house, and the kids, you know, she just, it's like the movie, you know, she measures the kids, mm-hmm. and they said, what's your measurement, Mary Poppins? I'm practically perfect in every way.
By the time the wind has blown the weather vane around, I'll show you if I can. No matter what the circumstance, for one thing I'm renowned. My character is spit, spot, spick, and span. I'm practically perfect in every way. Practically perfect, so people say. Each virtue virtually knows no bound. Each trait is great and patently sound. I'm practically perfect from head to toe. If I had a fault, it would never dare to show. I'm so practically perfect in every both prim and proper, and never too stern. Well educated, yet willing to learn. I'm clean and honest, my manner refined. And I wear shoes of the sensible kind. I suffer no nonsense, and whilst I remain, there's nothing else I feel I need explain. I'm practically perfect in every way, practically perfect, that's my forte. Uncanny nannies are hard to find. Unique yet meek, unspeakably kind. I'm practically perfect, not slightly soiled. Running like an engine that's just been freshly oiled. I'm so practically perfect in every way. Well, those are my credentials. Perhaps you have a few questions.
Not temperamental.
Never.
Not grouchy or gruff.
The very thought.
Will you stay tender when the going gets tough?
Quite the contrary.
Do you reach stories without a big fuss?
Mm-hmm.
Or have objections to playing with us?
Oh, I like games, but I choose them. Some minor improvements may not go amiss, but at all times you must remember this.
You're practically perfect in every way,
I guarantee.
Practically perfect, we hope you'll stay.
No prize on me. Each virtue virtually knows no bound. Each trait is great
and pitifully so.
So, Kevin, we have everyone in the mood now for this Disney production of Mary Poppins. I guess Disney, you have to say Disney, right, when you advertise it, because that's the way it works. And they get a small royalty, I'm sure. But if people want to go to the theater and see Mary Poppins at Theater by the Sea, how can they get tickets?
They could either call the box office at 401-782-8587 or 401-782-TKTS. Or they can visit our website at theaterbythesea.com.
Excellent. So that's how you get tickets to see Carrie and Brad and company. And Brad, about how much company is there? Do you know if there's gonna is there like, oh, 10 people?
It's a company of 27, all different ages, singing, dancing, acting. It's a really fantastic group of kids.
27 people on yes. stage. That's amazing. And if you haven't been to Theater by the Sea, it is a beautiful spot. You got to go down and check out the bistro, which is attached, and the beautiful gardens, and you get all prepped, and then you go in and see this wonderful production of Mary Poppins. And I want to go back to Carrie for just a moment. We talked about Practically Perfect, and a lot of people are familiar with the movie Mary Poppins. Mm-hmm. Most, I'm sure, millions more have seen the movie than have ever seen a theatrical production. How closely does the theatrical production run to the movie, in your opinion? Is it fairly close?
It's definitely different. You get the best parts of the movies and the best parts of the movie and the best parts of the book. That's what I always say, because I mean, you get so many more stories that are not in the movie that are in the book, and then you get the great musical numbers from the movie.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good combination of both.
Exactly.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. All right, we're going to go to another song, Jolly Holiday, Brad. It's a jolly, right?
It's a jolly holiday.
With?
With Mary Poppins. It's a jolly holiday with Mary. Definitely it is.
Now, do you use your regular voice when you're on stage?
Oh, I definitely don't.
Oh, I see.
I have quite a thick Cockney accent when I do this role.
Oh, wow. Then that comes from San Diego.
Yes, she does. Yeah. This is how we talk in San Diego. Every once in a while we say dude.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, we're going to go to It's a Jolly Holiday with Mary, and then we'll take a short break after that and be back with more of Theater by the Sea, Kevin Hill, Carrie Conti, and Brad Bradley.
All that it takes is a spark, then something plain as a park becomes a wonderland. All you have to do is look anew, then you'll understand why it's a jolly holiday with Mary. Mary makes your heart so light.
Oh, really?
When the day is grey and ordinary, Mary makes the sun shine bright.
You do talk nonsense,
Bert. Our happiness is blooming all around her. The daffodils are smiling at the dark.
I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
When Mary holds your hand, you feel so grand. Your heart starts beating like a big brass band.
You've got enough brass for all of us.
Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. No wonder that it's Mary that we love. Come along, you two.
Boring, just like her, the nanny's thinking. Parks are good for us. It's just statues, ducks and grannies. I don't understand all the fuss. Is she doing it to spite us?
We could lose her for a lark.
Perhaps it's all a plot. I'll tell you what, she seems so different, but I bet she's not. There is nothing to excite us in the park.
Who are you?
I'm Neelius, and I thought Mary Poppins would never let me get down from this plinth.
Ain't it a glorious day, right as a morning in May? I feel like I could fly. Have you ever seen the grass so green?
Oh, Bert.
Or a bluer sky.
Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. Fair days I've never known. You can ask the passing statuary. Nothing's ever set in stone. You're looking tip-top from top to toe, if I may say so.
Thank you, Bert, and you may.
Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. No wonder that is Mary that we love.
think Nelius is looking a bit timid today?
No, why?
I knew him when he was a little bolder. A little bolder? To see a statue dance like that, you can't believe your eyes. You fear you've lost your marbles, though the thinker thinks you're wise. So you should hasten, call a mason, tell him what you've seen. If he knows his craft, he'll think you're daft, but we'll know what you mean.
It's a jolly holiday with Mary. No wonder that it's Mary that we love.
Now Notre Dame can cause alarm, and I've me own hunch why. Those gargoyles need to gargle, cause their throats get rather dry. And just between us, I know Venus has a vice that shocks. She often drinks with a sphinx who winks. It's neat and on the rocks.
It's a jolly holiday with Mary. Oh, wonder that it's Mary that we love.
Let's go for a jaunty saunter. You are bound to make your mark. Looks like all of you are born to take a promenade in the park. Those finely chiseled features, you can look down from above. Each man out with his dog will stand agog to see a statue take a gentle jog. It's no wonder that it's Mary that we love. No wonder that it's Mary that we love.
It's a jolly holiday with you. Gentlemen like you are few. Though you're just a diamond in the rough bird, underneath your blood is blue. You'd never think of pressing your advantage. Forbearance is the hallmark of your creed. A lady needn't fear when you are near. Your sweet gentility is crystal clear.
It's crystal clear.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Theater by the Sea's Kevin Hill, Kerry Conti, who's playing Mary Poppins, and Brad Bradley, who's playing Bert. We talked a little bit in the first segment, Kerry, about the fact that Brad is using an accent. Do you change your voice at all during the show?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. You do?
Well, of course.
All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe you're not able to. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. That's part of the magic. I'll be there on Friday night to see the opening, and I look forward to it. So give us a little hint of how you're going to sound on stage.
Oh, let me see.
I like that. Let me see.
Let me see. That's how I always ad lib. Yeah. That's
just let me see.
Let me see.
Well, I know that putting you on the spot, you have a lot of things to do besides changing your voice. You're also going to have some physical things happen to you. And I know a lot of people have been anticipating, are you really going to fly?
Yes, I am. And we did some of the flying this morning, and it is going to be spectacular.
Wow.
It's going to be really cool.
Now, have you ever flown before?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah. When I was on tour, we flew.
Okay.
In every city. So that's my favorite part.
Oh, I see.
It's
I
the
misunderstood.
Easiest part for
I didn't
me.
Realize you were Mary Poppins when you were on tour.
I was the understudy.
Okay,
so.
All right. So you had to fly occasionally.
Occasionally, yes.
Right.
In certain
cities. Certain
cities
you got to fly in. Some cities were no fly zone.
Exactly.
Right. All right. And well, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how that works out. But that's part of the mystique and why people have to go. And if you haven't been to the theater, as I mentioned, it's a great spot to be. And after Mary Poppins, Kevin, we have one more show left for the season. Spamalot's going to be coming, and we'll get to have Kevin and company come in for Spamalot in a few weeks. But the Mary Poppins thing, I can't think of a show that has probably more recognizable music. It's amazing. Brad, just about everything you talk about in this show is a song that everybody can sing along with. Do you find yourself doing that?
Oh, absolutely. I was telling Kevin and Carrie, I went down to the beach last night just singing Chim Chimini and looking over the ocean. Bert luckily has all of his songs are pretty recognizable. He has a really good track in the show when it comes to music.
Now, as an actor, do you find that a positive thing, or would you rather interpret something that people aren't familiar with?
I find it a very positive thing. I think what's great about Bert is that I want to definitely give him a hint of Dick Van Dyke because people are expecting that. But at the same time, I'm completely different than him. Mm-hmm. And I'm also completely different than how the role is usually cast. So I definitely, Kevin's given me plenty of room to make it my own. But at the same time, the template that has been set for Bert's in the past is so great that there's no reason to stray too far.
Excellent. All right. And Carrie, as far as your portrayal of Mary Poppins, we're not going to expect to see anyone in drag or anything. It's going to be pretty traditional, right?
Exactly, exactly. Well, I Julie Andrews is just so wonderful, and she really makes the movie. So there is a lot of her there, but there's also a lot of me in mm-hmm. the role as well.
So the same thing goes for you. You have all these songs that people know and sing, and fans that can sing all the words, and will be singing along with you. And that's going to be kind of interesting.
Oh, that's my favorite part. I love it when people sing along.
All right. So if you're going to the show, and when Carrie is on stage doing one of her songs, stand up in the audience and sing along with her at the top of your lungs. See how many people we can get to do that. That'll be fun. I haven't seen that before at Theater by the Sea. That should be fun. Tell us about this next song, which, again, is one of those that everybody knows, Spoonful.
Spoonful of Sugar. Oh, well, this is another song where, you know, she's showing her magic. Something just happened. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a mess, and she helps the kids figure out how to clean it up.
Here we go.
In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun and snap, the job's a game. And every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake. A lark, a spree, it's very clear to see that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful. My point exactly. A robin feathering his nest has very little time to rest whilst gathering his bits of twine and twig. Though quite intent in his pursuit, he has a merry tune to toot. He knows a song will move the job along. For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
My favorite. And hence find the task is not a grind.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
The medicine?
Go down, medicine,
go down.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
The medicine go down.
The medicine go down.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down
in a most delightful way.
In a most delightful way.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine.
Just a spoonful of sugar. Yeah, I'm going to have that in my head now, right? Yeah. Spoonful of sugar. Okay. While we were listening to that, Brad brought up an interesting point that we kind of are all asking Carrie about in her portrayal of Mary. Brad and I are, and Kevin are wondering, are you really a witch or are you a sorcerer? Or how do you fly? What, or are you, you know, like Tinkerbell?
Well, there is definitely some sort of sorcery in there, and she's kind of a good witch.
A good witch.
A good witch, exactly.
Okay, and so she's like Glinda or...
Glinda, but a little feistier,
yeah.
I would say.
And if you were watching Harry Potter, it might be like...
Dumbledore.
Right.
Dumbledore is her
sorcerer. So she can do things that we're not sure how she does them.
Exactly.
All right.
And no one will ever know.
No one will ever know. And you're not going to tell because you know, of course.
Yes.
Right. But you won't tell. All right. Well, all right, Brad, when you're doing this role, you don't get to have 400 costume changes, do you? You're pretty much, you're it.
Right? I do have a couple additions, but there is one time when she magically changed my costumes for me. When we go into Jolly Holiday, which we listened to earlier, she transforms the park. And not only that, she transforms my costumes and everyone's costumes. So, like, so even her magic and sorcery, she spreads it around. And
you don't even have to work the change. She
does not at all.
You.
She does it for me. She snaps her fingers and I'm in a different costume.
But as far as lots of productions where the leading roles change costumes many, many times, frequently... This is, you're going to be magically changed once or twice, and then you're in it, right?
Then a minute. I mean, there's a couple of vest changes and a couple of tie changes, but basically the format, a couple of hat changes, but I stay through the same look.
The same look,
yes.
Which is that pristine.
Oh, no. I'm not going to be pristine. I think definitely my bird is pretty dirty. I mean, the more dirt he can. I mean, he definitely embraces the fact that one day he's a painter, the next day he's a janitor, the next day he's a chimney sweep. I mean, he's a survivor, and he's scrappy, so whatever it takes, he'll do.
He's a man of all trades, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Master of none.
Master of none. And for those that aren't real familiar with the story, Mary is a nanny, supposedly, or what, you know, that's the premise that she's a nanny, and that's how she gets into the scene. Okay. And so your job is to take care of the kids and teach them and keep them on the straight and narrow.
Right, but really save the parents.
Really save the parents, all right. Well, we're going to go talking about magic and so forth. This next song is kind of magical in that it has a lot of words in it. And did this take you long to master?
It did. It took me long to learn all of the letters, and then we're also dancing the letters. So every single letter has a movement.
Really?
So that has taken a while as well.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Exactly.
Right? All right. Well, I think I got it right. let's listen to that right now.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Ragilistic expialid ocious.
That's not a word.
Of course it's a word. And unless I'm very much mistaken, I think it's going to prove a rather useful one. When trying to express oneself, it's frankly quite absurd to leaf through lengthy lexicons to find the perfect word. A little spontaneity keeps conversation keen. You need to find a way to say precisely what you mean. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
It doesn't mean anything.
It can mean exactly what you want it to. When Stone Age men were chatting, simply grunting would suffice.
Now if they'd heard this word, they might have used it once or twice.
That's right.
I'm sure Egyptian pharaohs would have grasped it in a jiff. Mm-hmm. Then every single pyramid would bear this hieroglyph. Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Saiyans and wild animals would not seem so ferocious.
Add some further flourishes, it's pseudococococious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Umdiddle-diddle-umdiddle-eye.
Druids could have carved it on their mighty monoliths.
Oh, yeah?
The ancient Greeks, I'm certain, would have used it in their myths.
I'm sure the Roman Empire only entered the abyss because those Latin scholars never had a word like this.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
If you say it softly, the effect can be hypnocious.
Check your breath before you speak in case it's halitosis.
Oh, but
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
You can say it backwards. We should still get a lie. Sipsicatsilagarfilacreepus.
She may be tricky, but she's bloody good.
So when the cat has got your tongue, there's no need for dismay. Just summon up this word and then you've got a lot to say.
Pick out those 18 consonants and 16 vowels as well, and put them in an order which is very hard to spell.
S-U-P-E-R-C-A-L-I-S-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-E-X-P-I-A-L-I-D-O-C-I-O-U-S.
Never clogs.
Brad, let's get to one more piece of music before we take the next break. Tell us about Go Fly a Kite.
Well, this is one of my favorite songs in the show. And the two kids, Jane and Michael Banks, run into the park and bump into Bert. And they're a little sad and depressed. And he sings this song to be like, you know what? Let's have a good time and let's go to the park and fly a kite.
We'll listen to that and take a break and be back with more of Theater by the Sea's presentation of Mary Poppins.
With tuppence for paper and strings, you can have your own set of wings. With your feet on the ground, you're a bird in flight, with your fist holding tight to the string of your kite. Oh, let's go fly a kite up to the highest. waist height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through the atmosphere, up where the air is clear. Oh, let's go fly a kite. When you send it flying up there, all at once you're lighter than air. You can dance on the breeze over houses and trees with your fists holding tight to the string of your kite.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Kerry Conti, who is playing Mary Poppins, and Brad Bradley, who's playing Bert, and the amazingly talented Kevin Hill, who is the director, choreographer, producer, good guy, driver, everything. Kevin is the artistic director of Theater by the Sea, and he's actually doing the choreography and the directing of Mary Poppins. Tell us a little bit about the choreography and so forth.
Well, we just listened to Supercalifragilistic, and that choreography in itself is very unique. We're able to do the original Broadway choreography with a little bit of my twist to it. So each move is, or each letter is spelled out with the actor's body, which is just, it's pretty incredible. And then there's this roundabout thing that happens, and half of the actors do one thing while the others do another. It looks very challenging, and they've been doing a wonderful job. And then Step in Time, that will be played next, I believe, is all tap dancing, and we're going to incorporate a lot of acrobatics and tumbling, and there's going to be even a hidden trampoline that we won't tell you where it is, but yes, it's another bit of magic.
Another bit of magic comes out with the hidden trampoline. All right, I'll have to look for that now. And so you get to spell letters with your body. And do each of you have letters to spell, or is it the rest of the cast?
Oh, no, we spell all of them. We do it first and then show them to everyone else.
I see. Oh, so you spell all the letters.
Oh, yes we do, several times.
Quite okay. Quickly, too.
All right. So I would imagine an R is not easy. For those of you that are not watching on, they just did the R. But all right, well, that'd be something to look forward to. It'll be a lot of interesting choreography. Kevin, I have another question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot. When you buy a show, buy the rights to do a show like Mary Poppins, or when you just finished Grease, or shows like that, and Spamalot coming up, can you buy the choreography?
Yes, usually there is a separate license for it, but for Mary Poppins in particular, the Supercalifragilistic number came with the license, so that was the one that you're able to do, but everything else has to be original Kevin P. Hill choreography.
So we'll see a lot of original choreography along with that one we just talked about. Cool. All right, let's get to, as Kevin mentioned, A Step in Time is coming up. And whose is that? That's yours.
Yes, that is mine. I mean, she's in it as well. I don't do anything really without her, you know, except for Fly a Kite. But besides that, everything I do is with Mary Poppins because she's, you know.
Tell us about Step.
I think Step in Time is a magical moment where the kids come up on the roof, and it's a moment about guardian angels more than anything else in the show. I think everything that there has, it's a sense of someone coming into your life and completely changing it, and then in some cases leaving it. But in this number, it takes place on the roof, and it's letting the kids know that if you really need help, someone's always there to help you. And that's where it's saying it's the chimney sweeps in this actual number, but it's in reference to just in real life that everyone has guardian angels. You just have to look for them. And then these guardian angels just happen to sing, dance, and be up on a roof.
Brush away the dirt and soot. Brush away your tears. Cobwebs that aren't swept away.
A perfect crime, don't it seem a shame when the steps aren't going as smoothly as they might?
Step in time.
Well, this certainly has been a quick hour, and Kevin, it always flies by when we have Theater by the Sea in here talking about an upcoming show, because there's a lot of excitement, a lot of things going on, and I must congratulate you, because the shows that I've seen that you've been involved with have been spectacular, and you personally are doing a great job. You welcome the audience. So for those of you that are listening and you're wondering, who's Kevin? He's the guy that opens the show up and says, welcome everyone to Theater by the Sea. And so you do a very nice job at that. So now they'll all know who you are. They'll have a face to put with the voice. And I was curious as to, you know, an audition procedure to find somebody like Mary Poppins and Bert. It must be a pretty big task.
It is a pretty big task. And the way we handled it this time, there were actors that submitted themselves through a certain website, and I handpicked people from that website, and I came across Carrie's headshot, and I was just her headshot alone screamed Mary Poppins, and then I happened to see that she had done the show, so I you know, we called her in, and I knew as soon as she stepped into the audition room, I knew that was going to be our Mary, and Bill completely agreed with me and thought exactly the same. And I had known Brad for a very long time, and he was always the vision that I had in my head, even when we decided that we were going to do the show. And I know he's a brilliant actor, brilliant tap dancer, and I really wanted to work with the both of them. And then we had them read together, and it was magical.
Well, that's a good thing for Mary Poppins being magical, and congratulations to the both of you. I'm very excited about seeing the performance. I'm sure it'll be great. And Carrie, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Talking to our audience. Pleasure meeting you.
It's been a pleasure.
And Brad, best of luck to you, and great to meet you.
Thank you very much. And I'm a huge fan of Carrie's, so I want all your listeners to become a huge fan of Carrie's, too.
I'm a huge fan of Brad's.
Oh, cool. I'm the only one that's not getting to be a huge fan of anyone. But, well, that's great. And it's great that this is all working out and everybody's happy. And we're going to listen to one more tune, or a piece of one more tune, since we've gone a little over. But we'll go out listening to just a portion of this last song called Anything Can Happen. And then we'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations.
If you reach for the stars, all you get are the stars. But we've found a whole new spin. If you reach for the heavens, you get the stars thrown in. Anything can happen if you let it. Life is out there waiting.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.